So in a few moments, we're going to hear from Sarah and Phil about their journey of faith up to this point. And then as the climax of our service, they're going to be baptized. But before they do that, I just want to tell you a story, a very simple story that if you care to look in your Bibles sometime, you'll find in Luke's Gospel and chapter 7. And it's my favorite story from the life of Jesus. And all I'm going to do this morning is retell it so that we understand what baptism is all about. So if you want to come with me in your mind's eye and just kind of imagine this scenario, this is how the story goes. It was at the end of a day in first century Palestine, so it's hot and dusty and the sun's setting. And Jesus has been teaching, and he was a brilliant teacher. He was funny, he was incisive, he was quite rude about some of the people that the who led their nation at the time, and people were riveted. They really came in their thousands to listen to him. And at the end of the day, after a long afternoon of teaching, one of the religious leaders, one of the Pharisees, a guy called Simon, invited Jesus back to his house. Now that was quite surprising because Jesus was pretty rude about the Pharisees, and the Pharisees didn't like Jesus very much. But here was Simon inviting him back to his house for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation, and imagine in your mind's eye this crowd of people following, because they don't want to go home. They want to listen to more of Jesus. And besides, in the days when there was no internet, no sports channel, no TV flicker, no radio, listening to intelligent, educated people discussing things was a form of first century entertainment. So they follow Jesus. They're going to go back to Simon the Pharisee's house and listen in on the conversation. And right at the back of the crowd is a prostitute. And we never find out her name, but she's ostracized from her community and is walking behind everybody else. So they get to Simon the Pharisee's house, and they go in, and they're going to sit round a table. Well, when I say sit, in the ancient Near East, it was a low table, and everybody kind of reclined on a cushion on their left elbow, and their feet went out from the table, and they would eat with their right hand, and they would kind of prop themselves up like that, and the discussion would take place. And the Pharisee, Simon, would have been quite a wealthy and influential person. And so people would have come in, members of the public would have just come in to listen. And those who couldn't get in the building would be listening through the open windows because they just have shutters on the windows. And so this crowd gathers. And have you ever been in one of those really horrible, embarrassing moments when something is happening which makes you deeply, deeply uncomfortable? Do you know when you want the ground to swallow you up? I can see some of you making tortured expressions on your faces. Don't go there now. But, you see, we missed the point. This story is one of those moments when you just kind of all your muscles tense and you feel a bit pins and needles and it's just horribly, horribly embarrassing and you'd rather be anywhere else. Because actually, Simon the Pharisee has not invited Jesus back for a meal. It's a trick. In the ancient Near East, when someone came to your house, there were three things you did. Number one, you would kiss them. If they were superior to you, you would kiss them on the back of their hand. If they were your equal, you would kiss them on the cheek. Simon makes no attempt to kiss Jesus. Secondly, when you went to somebody's house, if you were their equal, you gave them a bowl to wash their own feet. And if they were superior to you, you gave them a bowl and a servant who would wash their feet for them. Simon makes no attempt to do either of those. And the third thing you'd do was you would anoint your guests with some deodorant, some perfume, because it was hot and smelly. And before you would eat, you would do that. Those three things were basic welcoming etiquette for anybody in the ancient Near East. And Simon does that to all his friends. And then just lets Jesus do whatever. It is a planned, deliberate snub to say, you think yourself a teacher? You're a carpenter. You're an upstart from Galilee. This is what I think of you. I'm treating you with contempt. So the atmosphere in the room changes. Everybody's gone there to listen to two rabbis debating. And now, actually, there's this horrible, awkward silence. And any moment, they expect Jesus to get up and storm out offended. Embarrassing moment number one. Embarrassing moment number two is that there's this prostitute. I mean, you know, she slept with men for a living. She's dressed for work. You get my drift? Don't go there, boys. Stay there. Stay focused. She has heard in Jesus' teaching that day a love that she's only dreamt about. She's seen in his eyes the first time a love from a man that was pure in intent. And she has been utterly compelled and gripped by what she's heard from Jesus. He is the only man who has made her feel loved. And now he is being treated with this much contempt. And she completely loses it. She forgets all the social etiquette. And she, a prostitute, barges into the house of a religious leader, a Pharisee, which didn't often happen, certainly in daylight hours. And she charges into the room and falls at the feet of Jesus. Remember, he's reclining on his left elbow. And so his feet are pointing away from the table. And she just kneels there, crying, and her tears wash his feet. And then, and this is, again, a really embarrassing moment that nobody gets now. You know, girls have their hair up, down, sideways, all over the place. They have kind of things on their wrists that they put in for one lesson, take out for the next, you know, all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's a complete mystery to me. But at least I have hair. Back to the story. Now, but in those days, it was completely different. There was one rabbi whose teachings we have found who records that if a woman was to take her hair down in public, that was a divorceable offense. This is a highly erotic act. It's meant to be for the exclusion of a husband and wife relationship. And so when she sees that her compulsive tears have wet the feet of Jesus, she takes her hair down and starts trying. I mean, the guys in the crowd with a pacemaker, they're being passed out the window by now. It's just, this is acutely embarrassing. And Simon's at the end of the table. So, if you were a prophet, Jesus, you'd know what kind of woman this is. Jesus has been at the center of attention so far and hasn't said a word. And then Jesus says, Simon, I've got a question for you. Now, rabbis were used to questions. They'd had great education. They were the most educated people in the town. And Simon says, go on then. And then Jesus says, there was this moneylender who had two people indebted to him. One owed 3 weeks' wages, and one owed 3 months' wages, and neither had the means to pay. So do you know what? The moneylender forgave the debt of both, just wiped the slate clean, said, okay, forget it. Who do you think loved him more? The one who was forgiven 3 weeks' debt or 3 months' debt? And it's great. If you look in Luke chapter 7, Simon's trapped. I mean, he's had a brilliant education, but a five-year-old can answer this. And he says, well, I suppose the one who had more money forgiven. And Jesus says, yes, Simon, you've judged correctly. And then he goes for her. You see this woman, you didn't kiss me, but she hasn't stopped kissing me. You see, you didn't wash my feet, but she hasn't stopped washing my feet. You didn't anoint me with perfume, but she had also broken a jar of perfume, which when you're a prostitute, that's quite important to the way you make your living. She's broken it on the feet of Jesus. And what Jesus does is he publicly praises a prostitute over a Pharisee. And he says this at the end. He said, Simon, he who has been forgiven little loves little. Mm-hmm. He is saying, this woman is closer to God than you are, Simon. You're a religious leader. You don't know you're forgiven. This woman knows she's forgiven. And the story ends in this enigmatic way, with the whole crowd being recorded saying, to one another, who is this who even forgives sins? Now, you can read that two ways. It could be, who is this who even forgives sins? Or it can be, who is this? And then Jesus turns to the woman and he says these beautiful, beautiful words. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow. And those words echo through the centuries, the time and place here, now, this morning. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Phil and Sarah, as they're baptized, are saying publicly to the world that they know they need God's forgiveness. They know they've fallen short of his perfect standards. And they've asked him for that forgiveness. And that as they come out of the water, they're celebrating their new life, that this faith has saved them. And that from now on they might go in peace with God, at peace with themselves, and at peace with each other. Because that is why Jesus came. Let those words echo through the centuries to us this morning. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Because this is the Jesus we worship. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you so much that you love me just the way I am. That you love every single person in this room just the way we are. But that also you love us too much to leave us that way. Thank you that we were made and designed to live in relationship with you. And when we mess up and separate ourselves from you with no way back of our own accord, thank you that through your death on the cross, Jesus, you've made it possible for that relationship to be restored. Lord, thank you for those words, first spoken to that broken lady as you spoke wholeness and peace into her life. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus, by your Spirit, would you take those words you spoke 2,000 years ago to that lady in Palestine, and would they echo through the centuries and grip our lives with their power and meaning and life-giving today? That each one of us, as we come to Jesus, can know our sins forgiven, that our faith has saved us, and that we can live in peace. Father, please turn those words into a living reality in our experience, we pray. Amen. So, have we worked out which one of you is going first? Sarah's going first. Okay.